Hey folks, welcome. It's Susan Baraka. Welcome to the coaching call for this week. Glad to have you guys on board. Hoping that you can help me if you would say hello in the chat so that you can hear me and that my audio is working well. And we're going to wait just a moment or two for folks to join us. And while we're waiting, I have a just for fun question. If you wrote a book, or if you have written a book, what would it be about, or what did you write about? I find that many people are interested in writing books, but a lot of people don't get a chance to. Oh, hold on. Hey there, you guys able to hear me? Please type in the chat, say hello. I haven't heard back from anybody and I wanna make sure it's working. Looks like it's working from where I am, but I wanna make sure, so. Hey, Debbie, thanks for putting that in. Mastermind Your Health, I love it. I've written a number of books on exercise. Oh, that's right. Hey, good for you. That's right. Thanks for chiming in there. Hey, Chris, glad you're here. Cheryl, nice to have you here. And Matt just joined us, welcome. Welcome, welcome. Yeah, I've written 3 books myself, starting my 4th and 5th ones in the next month. This month, one for a client, one for myself. Chris, my next book, Next Shiny Objects. I don't know if there's a book out there about that. That would be an awesome topic. That would be awesome because it is real. Shiny object syndrome is real. Oh my gosh. I tend to get that very easily. But once you name it, once you realize that that's a thing, it's a little easier to manage, but awesome. All right, all right. Let's see. Looks like we're going to have a small group today, but that's okay. Too close? There. Chris, I just adjusted my microphone. I'm hoping that's better. Doesn't look like it's even picking up. That's why I had it close. Hoping you guys can hear me. Ah, sounds good. All right. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thanks for letting me know. Yeah, it wasn't showing up as bouncing around there on my screen. So awesome. All right. Well, I'm going to dive in. I'm sure other people may join us as we get started, but I'd love to hear from those of you who are here. If you would share a win, any kind, big or small, type in a W in the chat and let us know what you've been working on. If anything in the last 2 weeks since we spoke, since we met last time, I'd love to hear about anything that's been a win and something that you're happy with and feel good about. Would love to hear it. Debbie said she completed her website copy. Awesome. That's a lot of work. Congratulations. That's terrific. That is terrific. Any other wins out there? Anybody else have something exciting? Chris, I think you had... I think you were working on something. If I remember, you posted something in the Facebook group about an opportunity that you were kind of working. Any updates there? I'd love to hear about it. Matt has finished a lot of work on my website and submitted for feedback. Oh, you know what? I got to double check. Great. Congratulations. Oh, and you already did that. I did. Okay. Sorry, I do a lot of them. I just wanted to make sure I didn't miss you. Super. If you have questions about anything, let me know. Certainly, you can bring those up today on the call if there's anything that you would love some more feedback on. Chris says, I've been in link fixing hell for a tech writing project. Chris S. You know what, Chris, you're absolutely right. It is a different Chris that I was thinking of. There's two of you in the program right now. I think it was Chris D that had a project that he was trying to land. So yeah, sorry about that. Sorry about that. Awesome. Well, it sounds like you guys have been busy. Even though it's summer's winding up, it's September already. I can't believe it's September. That came up kind of quick in spite of everything we've been going through lately. It's amazing. All right, I am going to dive right into questions for you folks. And if you have any other wins, surely keep feel free to type them into the chat as we go through here. So I'd still love to hear about any other good things that are going on out there for you folks. And I want to encourage everybody to participate today. It's a smaller group. We've got plenty of time. I can bring you guys on if you have questions about something or any place that you're stuck or maybe unsure about. Feel free to take up time today. And I'll bring you on so we can chat, and I can help you, hopefully help you through anything that you might be dealing with. Keep your question focused as always, and one question per person, but with a smaller group, I can definitely come back around to you, no problem. And let me know if you can't be unmuted for any reason also. And lots of time, plenty. I also want to encourage all of you to participate in the chat as well as you listen to discussion. And if you have thoughts or recommendations, that kind of thing, I always encourage people to be active on this call and don't just be a spectator. Definitely jump in and start and participate so that we can all benefit. That's the way it works best. I'll give you guys a minute to add a thought, put in a question. All right. Hey, Debbie, I see your comment there. She said she's hoping to get feedback on the website, but Ed hasn't had a chance to look at it. I hired him and Jennifer to put it up as I get paralyzed on the technical end. Good suggestion, good idea to do that. I would definitely reach out, Debbie, to, and you can even just put a question in if you haven't done this yet, is put in a question, an email to support@b2blauncher.com and ask, put an inquiry in there just saying, wondering on a status and check in with them. And it'll either be Crystal or someone else from the team that'll get back to you. So if you have any questions about that at all, not sure how long ago that was submitted. I think it's been a while, if I remember correctly, because I think I remember you talking about this before, Deb. So feel free to reach out to them and just for a check, for an update, see what's going on. That's what I would recommend. And they're pretty good about getting right back. All right, Chris. All right, Chris's question. You're posting your question privately just to me, but that's okay. I'll read it so everyone can hear your question. I know Ed's position about not spending time creating sample writing projects. One of Ed's past podcast guests in a recent webinar said that a paid apprenticeship is a way that many new writers learn the B2B writing ropes. What do you think about this? That's really interesting, Chris. Good question. I've never heard of a paid apprenticeship. Not quite sure, honestly, what that would be. I'd definitely be interested in at least understanding more about that, because that's something I had not heard about. I know you're familiar with the fact that, you know, we recommend doing pro bono projects here and there. Just do one or two to get you started and give you some experience and testimonial to give you that, start your samples, that kind of thing. And one of the easiest places to go to get those is some of the smaller companies that could use your help, but typically wouldn't be able to afford it. And they're usually companies that maybe are startups or just aren't that big, but really need the help. It's a great place to get some of that project work that you're interested in learning about, and do it pro bono to see, get your feet wet, get some momentum for you and some experience. But a paid apprenticeship, that would be one, I think, Chris, that would be best if you could identify the podcast and then put that in the Q&A thread on Facebook. I bet I have no doubt Ed will be able to address that. I just, really interesting. I've never heard of a paid apprenticeship. Not unless that's something that is specific to, I'm thinking maybe agencies that might be, or some kind of company that does copywriting, provides copywriting to businesses, some kind of an organization like that. That would be one of the things, but I've not heard of that before. So, senior writer subcontracting a new writer providing feedback. Wow, that would be an awesome thing if that were the case. That's really interesting. Like I said, I had not heard of that, and I missed that particular podcast apparently of Ed's, because that's not one that I'd heard about. So a senior writer subcontracting a new writer. I'd be interested to know how they go about selecting someone to be that apprentice. I don't know if it's something where you're applying for, as if you were applying for a job, going through an application process, and then they select a candidate from all of the applications, something along those lines. That might be the case. But again, I would go back. I'd still would, Chris, recommend that you post that in Facebook so that Ed can answer it, because I'm not sure where one would go to find paid apprenticeships. Not clear. Again, I hadn't heard of that before, so that's a new one on me. she did this privately. Then he would be the best person, honestly, to tap into with that, and he might be able to give everybody some direction on what to look for, because that'd be a fantastic opportunity for you and for anybody going through this course, is to be able to find a paid apprenticeship where you're allowed to make plenty of mistakes, ask lots of questions, and really kind of cut your teeth and learn from someone who's in the industry. That's really interesting. Yeah, and a great topic. Yeah, for future podcasts for Ed, indeed. Because if that's the case, then it's something that we have very possibly been overlooking. And maybe it's not as common as we're thinking. I find it difficult to believe Ed wouldn't mention it if it weren't something that were common. So I would imagine he would mention it. So, all right. Hey, Matt. Oops, hold on. Let me just back up, because I think I missed Debbie. All right, let me just back up to you, Debbie. You had said, I chose two other URLs based on your feedback last time, experthealthwriter.com and healthbizwriter.com. Does one sound better to you? I like them both. Honestly, they're both easy to say, easy to remember. Expert Health Writer is really clean. It's three distinct words that people can hear and remember fairly easily. Health Biz Writer, it's just a little bit less fluid, if you will, only because what I look for in word phrasing like this, Expert Health Writer, makes sense. So if I were to write a sentence using that, that would be the a logical order of those three words, expert health writer, right? It sounds like you're describing something. So to me, if, you know, I would say that one might be a little bit better from that perspective. Health biz writer is fine too. Either one is fine. But if I had to choose, I'd probably go with the expert health writer. I like that. All right. Matt, your question is up next. And Matt says, the distinction you made in my website feedback between the Why Me page versus the About page was really helpful. I'm working on updating my About page to be more story focused. Is there a recommended structure to my story? Should it have unexpected challenges that are often featured in the best stories? So what Matt is talking about, just for those of you who perhaps have not had a website, not been able to submit your website just yet, one of the things that I recommend is when you're working on your website, I make a distinction between a Why Me page and an About Me page, and they're two very different things, and they have very different purposes and functions on your website. And a Why Me page is really a sales page. It is a page where you talk about your background, but you really focus on the visitor. So you're tying your background directly to a benefit that your prospect will receive from your background. So it might be background, it might be education, it might be a number of different things that you've done. And you basically make statements like, my experience as whatever, fill in the blank, means this is how you benefit. My education in, you know, my master's degree or my certification or whatever the case means this is how you benefit. So you're tying a direct benefit to each one of your experience points. So maybe you have 10 years as a, you know, in IT, maybe you were, you know, a help desk guy or gal or something like that. Maybe there was some other thing that you did and you're calling on IT companies, you might say my experience allows me to, or provides you with, and here's how you benefit. So you really want to tie directly that experience to a benefit for the prospect, because you want to make it as black and white and easy for them to understand as possible. Here's why you should be considering me, or here's why you should be thinking about hiring me, because this background will benefit you. This is how it will help you. This is how it will solve your problem. An About Me page is purely the story of you. And it can be written, as I usually say, in a narrative format, and paragraphs are fine. This is the only place on your website that I would recommend paragraphs. It's something that by the time someone gets to your About Me page, they really want to know more about you. That's, you know, if they've gotten three or four pages deep into your website and they're clicking on About Me, they want to know about more about you as a person. And so what I like to see is more of a narrative style on the About Me page, where you're just telling the story of you. Drop the sales pitch, because now they're interested, right? So you don't have to worry about selling on this page. This is more about, you know, I thought I was going to be a chemist. And so I went to college for chemistry, and I got out and was just, you know, just found that it wasn't the right fit for me. So then I moved to, you know, as fate would have it, I ended up moving to another country or something like that. And you're literally just on a higher level, not a lot of detail, but just a high level of, this is a little bit about my life story. And, you know, you kind of are telling things that aren't necessarily important to selling the person, but at this point, they're just trying to get to know you as a human being. And so the About page should be a little more fun. You know, I talk about my crazy twists and turns in my career. I've done tons of different sales jobs. I've owned a liquor store. I've had two franchises. I mean, I've just been all over the board with my crazy, I even sold cars for a little while, believe it or not. And so I've done all this crazy stuff, and now I'm a writer. So how on earth did all of that happen? How did I get from this zigzag of a career line to being a professional writer? And so that's the story that I like to tell. And it just helps people to, you know, hopefully makes them laugh, you know, kind of make them smile and think, huh, that's interesting that she used to do that, or that she has that background. may or may not be relevant to the reader in sense of getting them to hire you, but it's really about telling your story. And then I usually suggest that you wind up with a little snippet about what you like to do for fun. And that could be a hobby, maybe you're into hiking, or maybe you're a cyclist, you know, something that's sport related, or maybe it's you love cooking, or you collect something, or your photography or something like that. Just share a little peek, something you're comfortable with, a little peek inside what you like to do when you're not sitting at your desk slogging out copy for your clients. So and it just helps people kind of come full circle with, oh, okay, so you had all this great background. And the reason I say that is because I have seen people come through this program and they have like MBAs and they've got, you know, master's degrees and they've got all this certification and education. And my first question is, well, why did you leave all of that and to write? What, you know, I mean, I understand because I'm a writer and have been writing since I was very small, journaling and so forth. So I understand the draw to writing, but a lot of people, you know, especially if you've got a degree in something that's really not directly related to writing, like if it's chemistry and you're now a writer, or if it's, you know, you're going from science to something that's a little bit more of an art. And so how did you bridge that? What brought you to where you are today? That's what I think an About Me page should be, is just give the inside story, a little bit of background. And let me see. And yes, so that's a very long answer to your question, Matt, but it's basically unexpected challenges for sure. You know, I got fired from a job the first time in my life when I was 50. And that was unexpected. and then I ended up, you know, getting another job. And it's a whole long story. It's kind of a funny thing, but, you know, and it's part of my story. Is that something you want to share? It's up to you what you want to share, or how you want to tell that story, how you want to share that information. But if it's something that you think is just adds some diversity and dimension to you, then I think it's a good thing. I think it's kind of a fun thing to tell a little bit about your journey, your career journey, but your life journey too. So if you've lived in different places in the world, really interesting. You know, to hear about that. I think people are interested in that. If you speak another language, you know, maybe you speak more than one language, maybe you're fluent in something else. Maybe, you know, you thought you were going to be, like I said, you grew up thinking you were going to be this, but as, you know, you traveled this path, you tried different things, you realized, wow, I really do love writing and it's what I want to do. So tell people that story in a narrative story, like, is if you were, I think the easiest thing, Matt, would be to think about sitting down at a backyard barbecue and someone saying, so how did you become a writer? And then, so how would you, if you were relaxed, you know, you had a drink in your hand, you're sitting there waiting for your burger to cook and you're just telling the story, how would you tell it? And that's what I would use as the, you know, gosh, it's a funny thing. I got to tell you this story, right? And tell it exactly that way. That would be my recommendation. Keeping the narrative concise is a bit challenging. Just looking at your notes here, Matt, just catching up a little bit. I think that's something that if you have another writer friend, have them help you with editing it down, because you don't want to get into every single little detail, like on the first day I was born or the first day I got out of college. I mean, we don't want to, you know, you're going to span years most likely in this story, and you want to keep it compacted down to just a couple of paragraphs. You know, we don't want this to be this big, long, rambling thing. It should really only be 2, 3, maybe 4 paragraphs at most, broken down so that people can still read it comfortably in a short amount of time. So that's still important. I wouldn't worry about keeping it concise at first, but I would make sure that you have someone help you with the editing piece. You know, maybe have a friend or a colleague look at it and say, hey, how do I shorten this? And get it tightened up a little bit. I hope that helps. lost in my story. Well, good. You know what? Yeah, I would say no more than four paragraphs. And try and keep it fun. Like I said, thinking about sitting in the backyard, having, you know, a backyard barbecue, how would you do that? And it wouldn't take you more than maybe 2 minutes to tell that story. And that's why I say 3 to 4 paragraphs, limit it to that. And I know that's outside of, you know, Ed keeps his program short and to the point in terms of, because he wants you to focus on getting your website together and getting it out. And so that's why he doesn't go into a lot of this kind of detail, because he doesn't want you getting distracted by, oh, I got to have the perfect about me page before I go live. No, you don't. You don't even have to have an about me page if you don't want to. It's optional. A why me page, I think, is more important, about why someone would hire you. And that's where you're really highlighting your strengths and your wow factor. What's, you know, what you bring to the table that people need to sit up and take notice of. That's where you want to highlight your why me. But an about me page is kind of optional. You don't have to do it, and I wouldn't let it delay your moving forward. And I think that's, you know, honestly, that's the bottom line for Ed with this program, is giving you enough information to get you off to a really strong start and focus on the right things. What we don't want is for you to be distracted by any of this. But oftentimes when I see someone who's written both, I like to just help them understand what I think is the difference between the two styles of information that you're just sharing with the world and the best way to do it. So definitely. All right. Good, good, good. Let me just scroll back around. You're very welcome, Matt. I hope that is helpful. Let me see. Oh, and Brittany, you snuck on here. I didn't see you come on. Welcome. Glad you're here. All right. Well, I'd love to hear from more of you with questions. We've got plenty of time. As I mentioned, it's a small group, so we've got plenty of time. Hey, Brittany, thanks for the question. And her question is, session 8 talks about nurturing and sending thoughtful content to not yet readies. If I have a prospect who is in the forward moving conversation before the phone call and fee agreement, but they suddenly stopped responding without saying they're not ready yet, is this another instance when I use the nurturing process feels too passive for you? Or do I pop back in the conversation with, have you gotten a chance to think about this project more? It feels slightly more annoying, I know. So this is interesting. Ed had just put out an email and it worked out beautifully. I love the stuff that he recommends. I had a client that I worked with last year, and I'd emailed her several times since January of this year. Now, obviously we all know since January of this year, life has been anything but normal. So I was trying to be patient, and I used his recommended format as a, hey, this is my final. And for me, I was in that place where I was ready to make that final. But it was just interesting because she responded almost immediately. I got an email response back from her. So it was incredibly effective. And so if you go to, B2BLauncher.com, jump on either the articles or the podcasts. And oh my gosh, he just put the email out. What's today? Thursday. I think this came out on Monday maybe Sunday over the weekend. I think he puts one out on Sundays. Anyway, it's just another style, and it's another style of email that might be helpful for you. And I'm trying to remember. And I'm not sure. I'm trying to remember what the topic was, so that you can go and look it up easily on the blog. Either in the articles, but I'm pretty sure it was one that he just wrote, and it was about if a client who's not responding. And what you might do, Brittany, is find a way to kind of merge the two styles. So I agree with you. The nurturing process may be a little bit too passive if this person has actually was ready, but then suddenly stopped. One thing that I would recommend, because this was really more of a, hey, I'm done chasing you. This is my last time following up with you. That's a little extreme for what you're describing here. Same case for before the fee agreement. Okay. So yeah, just reading your next thing. I did listen to that podcast, but I thought that was in the scenario of having already sent them a fee agreement. So I misunderstood what you put in there. I thought a fee agreement had already gone out. If it's the same case for before the fee agreement, I would say no. I would definitely not kind of be that direct just yet. So these are perhaps a not yet ready. This to me sounds more like we were ready to go and something happened. And what I would do is instead reach out to them in a way that's kind of strikes a balance between the two. So for example, you might say something like reaching out for an update on the project. I had this scheduled and was ready to move forward and want to make sure that we're still on track. Haven't heard from you. What has changed or has anything changed? You know, ending that email with a question that compels them to answer. Has anything changed? And don't say, could you please send me a status? I would refrain from wording it that way. Ed likes to end his emails, especially keep it short and end it with a question that they feel compelled to answer. So some kind of a question about, has anything changed in regards to this project? And end your email with that kind of a question. So kind of find that balance between, you know, we're moving ahead. Last time I spoke, this was my understanding. Last time we spoke or communicated, this was my understanding. I haven't heard from you. Has anything changed in regards to this project? And leave it at that. And Ed's a big fan of the 9-word email. I think you probably need to say a little bit more than 9 words, but it's certainly, this would be a start. And then see if they respond to that and see what happens. And then the next step might be to be a little bit more, a little more brief with an email if they don't respond after maybe a week or two, to follow up with, forward that email, that first one, and then just add, can I have an update or what's the update on this project? What's the status of this project? Something like that. Just a one question type of an email that says, you know, and none of this, hi, I hope you're well or anything like that. Seriously, just a one sentence that says, checking in on the, could you let me know the product or not, could you let me know, but seriously, what is the status of this project? That it is truly a question, because a question again compels the person to respond and answer, and hopefully that will do it. But I think, let me just see, because he's got a couple of other, if you look up the, just looking at the list here, if you look up 9-word email, Google that or search that on Ed's website, I think he's got several articles and podcasts about a nine-word email, and it's intentionally meant to, you know, to kind of get people just to, you're not exchanging niceties or anything like that. You're just simply, Sally, what's the status on this project? And leave it at that. I mean, that's all you're sending. It's not, look forward to hearing from you. Don't say anything like that. You're simply sending one brief sentence. But I would start with your first email, just saying, you know, we were, you know, checking in, want to follow up on the project. This is where we left off. My understanding of where we left off is here. I haven't heard from you. I haven't heard back from you. What's the status? What's the status of this project? I think that would be a better first email for you. So striking a balance between not being too passive, but not being too aggressive either. I hope that makes sense. I hope that was helpful. All right. great question. And sometimes it's just trying it. I find that I get nervous sometimes about sending these emails out, where I feel like it might land the wrong way on someone. But I always make up more of that in my head than is actually the case. I find is that I get overthinking and think, oh, they might be upset, this and that. That's usually not the case. Ed has a great approach with the wording and the style and things like that. And I refer back, I use his style all the time. I always go back and look, okay, how would Ed handle this situation? And I always go back to look at what he recommends, because I find it very effective. He's been doing this a long time. He's cultivated an amazing business as a result. And so I would do it that way. All right. Well, Brittany, it looks like you said you have a couple of other questions. If you want to post them, go ahead. And in the meantime, we would invite and encourage anyone else with questions. Feel free. If you have a question about anything, I don't care if we're all the way back to session one and you're just getting started, it doesn't matter where you are in the process. Feel free to post any kind of a question, anything that might be a sticking point for you or a point of confusion, anything that you want to get some feedback on, feel free. All right. Brittany, if you would like, I can just bring you on if you are available and can talk. Hold on. Oh, longer question. I may bring you on for this anyway, Brittany, if it's a longer question. So thank you for typing that in. I will read it so that everyone, for the sake of the recording, everyone can hear it. In lesson six, it's mentioned that if the prospect pushes via email for a free estimate, you should say it depends on several factors, etc. I've felt the need to add a factor that I'm not sure I'm phrasing in the best way. I found that I need to quickly determine when prospects ask about articles whether they mean, here's a topic, run with it, I'm hands off, or a thought leadership type article with an interview or somewhere in between. Should I be shutting, hold on. I found a client who wants me to just run with it without an interview. Should I be shutting this down? I feel like these could be a lot more time intensive to write. All right, I am gonna bring you on, Brittany, so go ahead and unmute.
Unmute. Can you hear me? Okay.
Hello there.
How's it going?
Good. Thank you. Thanks for the question.
Yeah.
So help me understand. I just want to make sure I understand, because it's what happened with this particular situation. They were expecting you to just go figure it out, or what? I want to make sure I understand where you're not sure. Sounds like you're not sure which direction to head in terms of shutting something down. So just help me understand a little bit more of what happened.
Yeah, well, so I have a prospective client right now that is basically saying, here is the topic, here's my kind of title that I want you to use, and can you give it to me in a week, and not wanting to be involved in an interview process.
Gotcha.
And so as a qualifying question, I am wanting to get a feel for that, especially before I'm giving
for
a fee estimate. And so I'm not really sure the best way to pinpoint, like, what do you mean? Do you mean something like that where you're just going to give me the title of a topic and you want me to write that from scratch, or something that's very, thought leadership type where
yes.
I need to definitely be getting an interview in with you. I need to be getting exactly what you're thinking on this in great detail.
Yeah,
because there's a huge difference.
Yes, there is, yeah. For sure. Well, one question I might consider asking as a follow-up, again, a qualifier is, will you be supplying the detail or do I need to do research on my own?
Okay. Yeah.
And that just kind of helps them to say, well, what do you mean research? Now, has this client, is this prospect have any articles like this already or is this a new endeavor for them?
It is a new endeavor for them, which I don't know if that's if your eyes are good or bad, but that makes me feel a little bit better because I feel like they're laying down a groundwork. And maybe once it gets to be more, you know, interesting topics where it's, you know, their take on a particular, you know, something in the industry or something like that would involve in my you know,
for sure.
Yes. Of that. Yes. That would involve like an interview and stuff. But if they're just laying down the groundwork and it's very simple topics at first, I can kind of understand it. That's why.
Yeah. Well, the reason I reacted that way is if they've never done anything like this before, they don't know, they don't understand the process. And
yeah.
What I would encourage you to do is to, at that point, become the consultant.
Okay.
And even though this might be your first gig, maybe it's the first time you've ever done this, maybe not. But the fact is that at this point, you turn to be the consultant and say, so mm-hmm. here's how this usually works. A typical yeah. situation is we go step one, step two, step three,
yeah,
step four, however. And you explain, this is how this normally works. What parts are you, because they're not even sure what they're asking. They're just kind of yeah. saying, here, go write an article. It's like, well, now wait a minute.
Yeah.
There's the right way to do this. And then there's the way you're suggesting. So you want to literally educate them and just say, mm-hmm. when I have found that this works best when mm-hmm. this, we share this responsibility and I do the writing for sure. Mm-hmm. But here's what I need you to do. Does that make sense? Are you okay with that? How would you, mm-hmm. Do you have questions about that? Let them mm-hmm. question you about, geez, I don't understand what you mean, or what do you mean by research, or so on and so forth. So it also opens up deeper questions for what they're actually looking for, because it's so common. If someone's not a writer, mm-hmm. they don't know what to ask. They don't even know what they're talking about.
Yeah.
You know, honestly, and I mean no disrespect, but they seriously are like, oh, you have to do research? Yeah, actually you do. If depending mm-hmm. on what the topic is, depending on how technical they want it to be, is it a more of an opinion piece? You know, those are the kinds of things you could even lay out, is that maybe it's an evergreen piece. Maybe it's something that you'd love to be able to use in a multitude of ways. It has to do with the audience, who it's going to, what the intended impact or the action that you want a reader to take. Is there something you're expecting to gain from this? You know, you need to kind of do like a 360. It's not just crank out an article. What mm-hmm. exactly are we doing with this thing, right? Where's it going to go? Is it going to social media? Are you sending it snail mail? What is, because mm-hmm. all of those details matter when you start talking about creating an article, and don't be afraid to educate your prospect on, especially if they've never done it before, if it's a new thing that they're exploring, here's mm-hmm. how things usually work. And this is what needs to be done in order to prepare. I need to know the audience. I need to know where it's being distributed. I need to understand how you're going to use it and what your expectation is of this article. What do you want it to do for you? What do
yeah.
you see? You know, is there going to be a call to action? There's so much to develop, even in a short article. So yeah. don't hesitate. I really encourage you to become that consultant. Step yeah. right in and say, here's what I need to know in order to be able to do this. This is how it normally works. And open up a discussion with them about that so that they're clear. This isn't just cranking out 500 words or 700 words. It's not that simple.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And they were providing the, you know, surrounding context, you know, what they're using it for and their audience and all that stuff. It was just when it came down to like, okay, let's assign you this.
Sure.
Yep. So you would use that and probably I'm assuming like moving forward as I'm, you know, valuing my time more, you would use that as a qualifying question.
For sure.
Okay.
For sure. That's because if somebody says, I want you to write a 700 word article. Is it, who is going to provide the detail? Are you going to, do you have research that I'll be writing from? Do you have resources that I'll be writing from, or do I need to source that myself? You know, where do I need to go? Will you be directing me? Is there some subject matter expert that you want me to, you know, quote or something like that? Or what do you want me to avoid too? You know, this is important if it's competitive and, you know, in industry wise, you know, what are the things you need to know? Because you don't have to rewrite this seven times because they didn't tell you this up front, right? We know that's what we're trying to avoid. You want to deliver a really close first draft, really, really close, if as close as possible. So asking good questions is really helps you to sound like you know what you're doing too. Don't be afraid to ask questions. I would encourage you and anyone listening, really, don't be afraid to ask, like, how do you see that working? What would you expect me to do? What's your expectation of me in this? You know, what pieces, parts do you want me to take? What pieces and parts are you going to take? This is how it all has to come together. Who's going to do what? So it's just good planning. And it'll get them thinking too. Believe me, it'll help them to just be thinking like, ooh, I hadn't thought of that. And that's going to really solidify the relationship for you. The more that you bring that kind of questioning to the table, the more you're going to sound like, oh, she knows what she's talking about. This is, you know, and then they get, it brings them closer to wanting to work with you and feeling sure that they want to work with you. Because if you are more, if you sound like you, you know, you have your ducks in a row, you know what needs to be done, it's going to be, it's going to give you credibility in the relationship. So.
Yeah.
Cool.
All right. Thanks so much.
Wonderful. And did you have, was there something else? Hold on. Did you have another question?
I didn't type it out. And it's kind of just a quick question. And I the scenario has kind of passed. I feel like maybe from my own knowledge, you can quickly answer it if you'd like. But the question was just, is there an appropriate way or a scenario where it's ever appropriate to lower my price after sending out a fee agreement? And I think after thinking through this particular scenario, I don't want to do that. I think I would be undervaluing my time, even though the prospect would be somebody I would enjoy working with, and it seems like it'd be a really great relationship. But again, yeah, I'm kind of passing it up for this particular scenario, just for my own knowledge, is there ever an appropriate way to lower a price?
Sure. And, lower a price I would avoid, obviously, for obvious reasons. But what Ed usually recommends and what I've done before in the past too is to add more things in. So they come back to me and they say, ah, you know, that was, you know, that price wasn't what we wanted. What I would then say is, well, what if we, what if I do that plus two blog articles for you, or something like that. So think of ways to be creative and add things back in so that you're not changing the price. You know, this is still, because it's still, the value is still there. So for me to lower my price would somehow, in my mind, would lower the value of what I'm doing for you. So I priced it that way because that's where the value is at. And so instead, what I would rather do is look, would it help if I added on these things, two or three things, and see if you can negotiate that way. Have other things kind of in your back pocket that maybe you're doing a case study, but they'd really like, well, you know what I could do is a couple of, you know, of shortened, you know, I'll take a piece out of the case study and rework it to be a standalone article for your social media, something like that. So you're, you know, you're offering to do a few value add things. But not, I would just be careful about lowering price. And it really is a personal choice. But that then sets a precedent that if you end up working with this person again, with this company again, they're going to say, well, she'll drop her price. I just have to push. No, no. I'm worth the money. I'm, you know, my will be worth, and you'll be satisfied with what you get. So instead, let's add some things in. I just did that myself last week with a client who was kind of, you know, kind of going back and forth. And I said, let's think of some other ways. What if I do this and this? And I offered a couple of things and she said, that would be great. It sealed the deal. Just, okay. Yeah. She just felt like, okay, I'm just going to get that little bit of extra. and she feels like she won, you know. Yeah. And it is a negotiation that she feels like she won, and that's the important part. But on your part, is it really that big of a deal? You know, wouldn't mm-hmm. it'll take time, but you've still won overall in terms of holding your ground and saying my work is worth what you're going to pay me. So and keep your add-ons simple. I mean, obviously you're not going to commit to anything huge, but putting together a blog post mm-hmm. might be a nice add-on, something like that.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Great.
Well, thank you for the questions and good luck.
Thank you.
All right.
Appreciate it.
Awesome. Great question. And good things to be thinking about. Some of you may be earlier in this program and maybe not quite there yet, but as you get into negotiating, into talking about prices and things, it's nice to have the comfort of knowing, you know what, if they ask me, here's how I'm going to respond. It's really nice to have that kind of in your back pocket in terms of how to handle some of these questions when they come up, of people talking about price and maybe trying to find some value add ways to still support without changing anything, but just adding a few things on. That's always a nice win-win, especially if you want the business, you want the client, you know, they're going to be a good client. You know, it's exactly in your, in the industry you want to be in, or in the niche that you want to be serving. It's a really great way to kind of build that without jeopardizing or losing the opportunity. All right, Deb, looks like you're up next. And Debbie says, I'm not planning to use old writing samples based on your feedback last time. I do have a few more recent ones from last year, but in a totally different industry. National RV Training Academy, would there be any advantage to using those? It seems it would be confusing. So I remember talking to you about this. I remember us going around on old samples versus newer ones. And I'm glad to hear that you're not going to use our older ones. I think style has changed, writing style. The internet has changed a lot of the way we write in some cases. So glad to see that you're going to use something fresher. What I would do is not hesitate to put the samples that you have up, even though it's a different industry that you're going to be targeting. And with the caveat that if you put it up and say, this is an example of a white paper I wrote or a blog article or whatever the case may be, it is a different industry, but it is still an example of how I handle this particular type of project. I wouldn't worry about it being confusing, especially if you put that caveat and keep it simple. You don't have to go into a whole long paragraph about explaining why it's a different industry. Simply saying, here's an example of a piece that I wrote for a different industry. That's all. Here's an example of a white paper I wrote for a different industry or a blog article that I wrote for a different industry. I could tell you that when I was doing copywriting, I was working for an agency and really doing tons of blog articles, but for every industry under the sun. And I'm trying to remember now, I think there was a document destruction company I wrote for. There was a moving company that I wrote for. There was, who else? Oh my gosh, they had me writing for this wholesale fruit distributor. So industries that had nothing to do with each other, nothing at all. It was crazy and it was all over the place. It was fun. I mean, I had a lot of fun doing it because they weren't the kind of high tech type of industries that needed, you know, a specific knowledge. They were smaller businesses. And so their needs were such that they just needed someone who could write well. And they would point me in the right direction. I'd write the articles and it was actually kind of fun. I mean, I learned a ton when I was doing that. The fact is I used all of those on my website. They had, you know, in some cases I was doing, there was a trucking company, a long haul trucking company. I revamped their, I worked on their web copy. The wholesale fruit market, fruit wholesaler. I revamped the copy on their website. I had done quite a few and they were all over the place. but that didn't really matter. What mattered is that these were all things that I wrote. These were all projects that I worked on and that I was the lead on. And so I was able to, for me, in my sense, in my position, as I looked at it, as showing my diversity, my ability to write for diverse industries and still sound and still make them sound great, you know, really be able to make them sound really good. Because at the end of the day, the client that you're working with is going to approve or disapprove or reject whatever you submit, and you're going to partner with them and work side by side. And I think that on your way to developing your niche, it's perfectly fine to use something from another industry as an example of how you work. And so if you've got the most recent pieces that you have, use them, and then just put that caveat. This is an example of a blog article from a different industry, from a former industry, right? An industry I used to write for. I think there's nothing wrong with that. And again, it's temporary. Keep in mind, Deb, and anybody listening and thinking about samples and things like that, your samples will rotate. Once you start getting into the industry you want to work in, the niche that you're focusing on, whatever your specialty is, as you determine that and you fine-tune it, you're going to change your samples. You're going to update your samples regularly. So this is just to get you started. It's just a stick in the sand, so to speak, a place for, you know what, throw a couple of samples out there. Let people see that you know how to write. That's part of it. That's a big part of it. And then as you start getting momentum, you start getting more projects, you're going to change those samples out. So this is really very much a temporary placeholder almost situation. And so think about your samples as just the beginning, the starting point. And the other thing, I know Ed has a blog, I think an article on his website about where he shares his first couple of samples when he first got started. And he laughs because they're so awful. but it was what he had. So he ran with it. And I think that to me I was in the same situation at one point. So that made me feel better too, was to look at that and think, all right, just go for it because it's only temporary. All right. And Deb had one more add-on question, and anybody else, feel free, got time. Deb says, one more question, since I'm targeting lifestyle medicine practitioners who already have websites. I was wondering if a website audit might be a good door opener. I think that's an excellent door opener, 100%. And what I would recommend, Deb, is that you keep it simple when you do an audit. Do the most important things. So if you think about the way that when I review a website, for example, for you folks, when you submit your website copy, what I recommend is that you look at what are the key pages, the key things. Maybe give them a top three or a top four or top five things that your website has to have as this type of practitioner. So if you're a chiropractor, you've got to have X, Y, and Z. If you're, a Reiki practitioner, if you're a massage therapist, if you're whatever, maybe you're, alternative medicine, maybe you're this or that, whatever you're, there are probably, and they may all be the same, maybe not, each type of a practitioner might have a slightly different way that is the most effective for capturing their visitors' attention and getting them to take action, if that's what they want to have happen. But I would keep the audit fairly simple. And basically say, I've identified three key areas that other chiropractors have, that I've seen other chiropractors improve and had significant, results from these changes. So your audit should be fairly straightforward, fairly simple, shouldn't take you a whole lot of time. And you want to just pick out a couple things, like here's where you could benefit. And then maybe they aren't doing regular blog articles, for example, and then just feed them some ideas. I noticed that you only have two blog articles. Here's the value of blogging regularly, allowing you to stay in front of your best audience, you know, the you're keeping your clients, those kinds of things. Maybe list the different kinds of things of here's what, how you could benefit from doing this. And do that. Same thing, landing page. Maybe their landing page is crucial. Maybe two or three things, a handful of things, no more than five, I would say. Because again, this is, if it's a courtesy audit where you're just doing it as a door opener, then you want to keep it fairly light. If it's an audit for real, because they're really interested in revamping their website, then that I would dig a little deeper. But something that's a courtesy audit like this, that you maybe do for free, I would definitely keep it light, keep it easy for them to understand. And as Ed likes to say, don't call their baby ugly. Be really careful about how you position the feedback that you give. You want to make sure that their website isn't something that maybe they've done it themselves. Maybe it was their nephew or their, you know, their kid that did this that for them. You want to be really careful about how you provide feedback so that you're not, you're saying, hey, you have a great website. I think it's doing a nice job for you. I found a couple of spots that you might want to consider strengthening. These are areas that I've seen other chiropractors or other practitioners you do that really made a difference for their business. So here's just some ideas about how you could strengthen what you already have. So just be careful about that so you're not... You're not stepping on anybody's toes while you're giving feedback, especially if it's a prospect, it's someone that you're just heading in and trying to build a relationship with. And the other point about a website audit is I would reach out and connect with them, offer that first. Don't just do one and send it to them because they don't know you and they're not, it's not going to, they very well might disregard it. So what I would recommend is try to build a little bit of a relationship first. Reach out and connect, do some kind of a warm email that, you know, allows them to, and maybe offer that as part of a warm email saying, hey, you know what, I'm doing this, this thing because, you know, COVID has changed the way we're doing business. I'm seeing that practitioners like yourselves, you know, need to do some refresh and updating. You could blend that in. Here's what I'd love to do for you is take a closer look at your website to see if there's other things that might benefit and help you through, you know, make a difference during this period of shutdown and things like that. Lots of things to talk about in and around how this quarantine situation has affected businesses. And there's some key things that you could maybe even talk about there is add one or two about, hey, so what I've seen other practitioners doing in response to the quarantine, here's how they've presented that, what they're doing online, you know, how they're talking about their process, their safety procedures. It's really important. That would be a great thing to look at to see if you don't mention it, if they don't mention it anywhere on their website, we're already 6 months into this, it's probably going to be hanging around for a while, unfortunately. They need to be talking about, here's our safety practices. So that might be an easy one. Let's just say, you know what, really ought to think about adding that to your website so that people who might want to come and see you know that you're on top of this particular situation. People want to feel comfortable and safe that you're following proper procedure for this and the environment that we're in now. So just some ideas, just doing some brainstorming with you. Hopefully that's helpful. Another awesome question and a great idea. Great, great, great idea. Sorry, I'm flicking away here with my... And we've been talking for a little while now. I'm still going to take questions, so don't hesitate to put a question in and I can bring you on if you want to talk about anything in particular. But I'd love in the meantime for you to let me know what your biggest takeaway has been from our conversation today. We've kind of covered a lot of different things. Little bit of everything, and would love to hear if there's anything in particular that really kind of resonated and made sense for you, was new information. All right, and Debbie, thanks for your follow-up, and I don't see any other questions coming through, so I will dive into yours. Have you had success working with associations and training organizations to help their members? There is definitely some advantage to that. Over the years, I have been selective, very selective about the organizations that I join, different types of professional associations, et cetera. And yes, there's work to be had there. And there's a that's a great way to get connected with and start building relationships with potential clients is if there's a, there's so many different organizations out there for different industry professionals, and it might be something like a HR professionals or accounting professionals or something along those lines that is going to get you involved with people, even though like, is it alternative medicine, what we were just talking about, different, you know, alternative healthcare practitioners. There are plenty of organizations that you could probably become a member of and give you access to a whole, all kinds of folks that might need your help. So again, what I would recommend though, in regards to that, so yes, there's a real, there's some real value, could be some real value. A couple of things to look for and make sure that the organization has been around for a while. And that the membership is, you know, some of these memberships can be expensive. So you want to be very selective, make sure that they've got the right people in them, the right your target audience. And then also make sure that you understand the rules of promotion within an organization. So if you're looking to join an association, what are the rules about promoting your services? You want to make sure you understand that. And then the other thing I would recommend is that you really take it slow. This is a marathon, not a sprint. When you're joining an organization like that, it is still about building relationships. You don't want to come in and be that guy or that gal who's really spammy and sending out, hey, special today only, call me today. And, you know, I don't think anyone in this program comes into it that way. Most people take Ed's lead, if you will, and kind of it's all about building that relationship first. So you, yes, join an organization if you think there's some value there, but take it slow. Really start, you know, getting to know people. Seeing if there's some way that you could get involved in maybe a committee and start helping with maybe an upcoming event, maybe they're doing webinars, maybe there's something that you could sign up to do a presentation, something like that, but take it slow because you don't want to be jumping in and start annoying people. And that definitely is, you know, I've been in, we've all been probably in associations like that where people are just coming and they're overdoing it with the sales pitch. We don't want to do that. Awesome. Awesome. Chris says, important reminder not to call their baby ugly. Yes. That's Ed saying, don't call their baby ugly. Yes. Don't do that. You never know who built that website for them. It could be their favorite cousin or their kid or yeah, you just got to be careful. Respect that they put some work into it. You know, show them a little respect for what they've got. I mean, even if it's awful, believe me, we've all seen some websites. Whew, my goodness. I just got an email today and this woman was sharing it's like a marketing email. And she said, oh, this new book has just come out. You should take a look at it. And so I clicked on the link and it took me to the Amazon page for this particular new book that's just come out. And I tried to read the summary and it was so poorly written that I thought, this can't be right. I just clicked on, I said, oh, that's an interesting topic. And it's one that one of my clients is actually thinking about approaching the same style of book. And that's why I looked at it. I said, oh, I'm going to go check that out, see what it's all about. And I read the intro, the summary that you can put on Amazon. And the first sentence I had to read three times because I wasn't sure if I was reading it wrong. And I edit for a living. That's part of what I do. And I was blown away. It's like, oh my. So yes, we all run into those things, right? That we come across and we just think, oh my goodness. But just be careful about how you approach it. So I'm glad that was helpful. And Debbie says, let me see. I've been exploring those this week. her takeaway, pursue courtesy website audit as a conversation starter, yeah, and ways to strengthen a relationship, for sure. Absolutely. And again, just saying, hey, you know, I looked at your website and it made me think of another client I worked for, and I had some ideas. Would you be interested in me putting together a couple of thoughts about where I think you could strengthen some things on your website? And see if that, you know, just I've got some suggestions. And then when you actually do the audit, don't be afraid to share plenty of information. People sometimes get funny about, I don't want to give away too much information. To be perfectly honest, if someone's website needs some work and you can see some weak points, if you tell them, okay, fix A, B, and C, this is what I would recommend very specifically. You should add this here. You should change the way you've written this. You should, you know, make these changes. You can be really specific and give them plenty of information, because the likelihood that they're actually going to take action on it is pretty slim. Depending on who you're calling on and who you're sending this to, if it's a smaller organization like a healthcare practitioner or something like that, they're not going to have time to do this. So don't be afraid to give away plenty of information. That took me a long time to get comfortable with. I was thinking, oh, I don't want to, you know, tell them all my stuff. Then they won't want to hire me. They won't need me. That's not true. They might understand, oh, that makes sense. But then the how to do it is the part where they're going to fall down. Most likely aren't going to be able to do it on their own. And even the person who put the website together might not be sophisticated enough to understand what you're getting at and how to craft that content to make it the most effective. So don't be shy with giving plenty of stuff away through these audits, because the more that you are willing to give, the more that builds trust. Someone's going to think, oh, that was, wow, this is really good. Yeah, these are really good points. I understand. Oh, I see how that could help me. You know, and really making sure that you're giving plenty of value. Don't be afraid to give value in that audit, because you'll, I find that being generous in that way always comes back in a good way. It'll benefit you for sure. Awesome. Great. Well, I'm glad that was helpful, Debbie. All right. So last question, and we do have time if anybody else has a question. We have time for another one, but in the meantime, I'd love to hear what your top action item is for the coming week. Here in the U.S., we have a kind of a long weekend. We've got Monday off for Labor Day, so some folks I know are working, some folks are not, but you know, we're heading into a shorter week the week following, but would love to know what your plans are for the next week or two. We're in September. It's still the first. We're still new. We're only on the third today. So what have you got going on this month? What do you want to accomplish in the next couple of weeks? What are you going to take action on? It doesn't have to be anything we talked about today. It can be anything at all that you're planning on working on. Maybe you're going to move through the next session of the program, depending on where you are. Maybe you're upping your email prospecting. Maybe you're going to bolster that because you're ready to roll, ready to bring some clients on board. Maybe, I know you were talking about, we were talking about organizations, associations, and organizations that you might be able to join or follow and become a part of. Maybe it's researching some of that. Matt says, finish edits to your website and then edit your LinkedIn profile to be consistent with the website. Perfect. Excellent, excellent. Yes, you want that same message in both places. You can shorten it up a little for LinkedIn if you want, but definitely you want to have the same basic message to make sure that people, a lot of folks will find you on LinkedIn to begin with. They might find you on LinkedIn before they would find your website. And so LinkedIn's an important portal, an important page for you to have up to date and looking good and matching. Deb says, complete the starter list and begin warm emails. Check out a course on website audits. There you go. Photo shoot for the website and then research organizations. You have a busy couple of weeks coming up. That's a long list. Good for you. Good for you. Definitely keep us posted. Like if you find an interesting course on website audits, that'd be something that feel free to share it in the Facebook group. Because I think other people would find that helpful. If you find any good resources, feel free to share. Chris says, rethink and write my positioning statement. Awesome. And don't hesitate to let us help you with that. If you get somewhere to a point where you'd like us to review it, put it in the Q&A thread in the Facebook group, and Ed and I will both chime in. We'll take a look. Debbie said AWAI has a short course on website audits. Interesting. That would be super helpful. That's great. A great resource too. Thank you for that. Awesome. Well, great questions today. Thank you everybody for being here and thank you for participating. It is always valuable to hear from you and to help you and answer questions on whatever it is that you're dealing with and you're working on right now. So thank you for your participation and I'm wishing you all guys a great weekend coming up here. It's already Thursday afternoon. Whew. And I look forward to seeing you guys in a couple of weeks and I will definitely be talking to you all on Facebook. So join us there in the meantime. And thanks for being here. Take care, everybody.